Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nazir daf Samachay, the second to last daf of Maseches Nazir, and we are holding on daf Samach Dalet and Beis at the Mishnah on Samach Dalet and Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Leila Nishmas's mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom. It is also sponsored by Leila Nishmas, Dovi Herman, Mordechai David Ben Shmuel Chaim on his third yard site. He's sponsored by his friends who miss him dearly. We all miss him dearly. He's in Shana Shev and Aliyah, and the zechus of the learning we do here in Beis Mordechai David should be in Aliyah's neshama. It is also sponsored by Jeremy Lussman in commemoration of the 27th yard site of his grandfather Jake Lussman, Yaakov Eliezer Ben Yosef, in the Shem Shev and Aliyah, and is also sponsored by Leora and Zach Orenshine for the first yard site of Leora's great-grandmother, Freda Basleo, who was a Holocaust survivor with unwavering emuna. In the Shem Shev and Aliyah, we thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we're in the Mishnah over here on the bottom of Samach Dalet and Beis, and going over to Samach Hamad Aleph, we're going to discuss what happens when you find a kever. You're in your backyard, you're doing some gardening, and then you find a body in the yard. So are you allowed to, it's inconvenient to have that in your backyard, so are you allowed to move that? Or do we say, no, you're not allowed to just do Pinoy Kvaros, you're not allowed to just move around? And also, what's your responsibility in terms of doing further research? Is this the only body that's here? Maybe there are more bodies that are here. Maybe I have to figure out what to do with all, I have to do more investigation. Then the Gemara is going to have 9 exceptions to the rules of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to set out a rule of what you have to do. We're going to have 9 exceptions in the Gemara. And then the Gemara is going to define what is Tfisas HaKever, because part of the idea, part of what the Mishnah tells us of what to do when you find a kever is that is that you're not only going to move the kever, you're going to move the Tfisas HaKever. So what exactly is a Tfisas HaKever? Then the first Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about Safek Nega'im. It's going to talk about Sara'as. The reason it's mentioned over here in this Masechta, even though it's mentioned in much greater detail in the 5th parak of Maseches Nega'im, is because it talks about what happens when a Safek Legabe Tumas Nega'im comes up and there's a Chilik, whether the person is Becheskas Tuma or not, and that's similar to the Mishnah we had in Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, Legabe Nazir, when he was Becheskas Tuma, that even Tumas HaTahom is going to be Metameh him. So since in our entire discussion of Tumas HaTahom, the Chazaka of the person going in to the exposure to that tuma makes a difference. So we talk about Nega'im over here also, where the chazaka is going to make a difference. The Gemara is going to bring the source to be makel by certain types of suffix nega, and that hopefully that discussion will bring us to the Mishnah, the next Mishnah on Samachayim Beis, which we probably won't get to today. We'll probably save that for tomorrow, as tomorrow's daf is a little bit of a shorter daf. But anyway, that Mishnah talks about 7 ways to be bodek azav, to see if he actually has tumas evo, or if there's just something that he ate or something like that that caused him to have what looks like ziva. So let's begin again, Samach Dalet and Beis. So this Mishnah also is a little bit of a change from the topics of Maseches Nazir. Now we're going to talk about someone finds a dead body buried in his rishos and he wants to move it out of his property. Is he allowed to do that? And the issue is this mace buried on purpose, and with permission in this area? And if that's the case, then you have no heter to just move a mace if he was allowed to be buried there and was purposely buried there, even if it's just a single mace. And on top of that, you're also going to have to be choshesh that there might be other kvarim, because if this mace was put here on purpose, probably other maceim are in the vicinity as well. Or do we say, no, probably they just needed somewhere to put the body, so they put it here temporarily, then something came up and they forgot about it or they couldn't do anything about it, but it was really meant to be buried somewhere else after some time. So even in cases where there is an isser to do a pinoy mace, to move a mace from one place to another, when they bury al tanai that they're going to be mefana from one place to another, they did that during COVID a lot, that they were burying people with the tanai. They just had to get them buried, and then they were doing al tanai that they were going to move the bodies afterwards. So in such a case, you might not even have to be choshesh to look for other kvarim. So what's this Mishnah doing here? Because the Mishnah, Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, mentioned the concept called raglayim ledavar. When when it came to a Nazir. And this Mishnah also mentions the concept of raglayim ledavar, that sometimes you have certain factors that indicate a certain result. So that we follow those indicators. And that's the whole connection, it seems, over here. Now, the Gemara Masech Sanhedrin Daf Mem Zayin Beis tells us that there is an Isser of being mefana a kever hayadua, that if you have a kever that's put there midas, that was put there on purpose, you're not allowed to move it. But the Gemara doesn't explain why. It doesn't explain what the Isser is. And that's the whole premise of the Mishnah, is that there is such an Isser to just take a kever and move it somewhere else. So the Gemara doesn't explain why it's Aser. Now the Gemara Masechet Mabasa Daf Kufnin Hay says it's an Isser of Hotzas Hameis from the kever Mishum Nivel Hameis, because maybe it's going to be Masriach V'Yaskana, it's going to be the body's going to start to smell, it's going to be a big Ganai. So the Chacham Tzvi writes that that's the primary reason for the Isser of moving a mace from this kever. It's just that the post can mention other reasons in order to Aser, even in cases where there's not going to be a Nivel Hameis. What would be an example of a case where there's not going to be a nivel mace? The mace is in an aron, so you're not you don't have a nivel. It's just you're moving the box. You're not moving anything else. The box is still intact. So the Kolbo writes that the tiltal amesim is mitzair the mace. And causes them a certain fear, because there's a concern that the Yom HaDin has arrived for them. Like Shmuel said to Shaul by the Balas Ov, that Shmuel had arisen with the Shlichus Lomihir Gastani Lahalososi, that the mace, when the mace was talking, the mace's lashon was Lomihir Gastani. Why did you frighten me? Why did you terrify me? So when the mace is agitated, that's considered to be just not nice to do to the mace. It frightens the mace on some level. The Geshra Chayim in Chelek Beis, Perichaf Aleph Os Beis, writes that even when there's no Nivela mace and there's no Charada for the mace, there's still an Isra of Bizoyan mace, just from the very fact that you're being metaltalit from its place for no reason. That itself serves as a Bizoyan. Rav Moshe has a Chuvin Yardei Chelek Aleph in Reish Mem Beis, where he's Mechadish that since there's a mitzvah in a Torah to do Kvuras mace, it must be that mitzvah is not just to do a mace of Kvura, but it's a mitzvah that the mace should be Kavur, and calls man that you're any, even for a moment, when you take a mace and take him out of a kever, it's a bittul mitzvah of kvura, and that's the problem with moving a mace. But that's the premise. The premise is that there's some sort of problem. So says the Mishnah, hamotzi mace b'tchila, a person finds a mace buried in his chatzar b'tchila, that he didn't know up until now that there was a mace in this place, and now he finds it. So mushkov kedarko, and the mace is buried the way a regular Jewish body would expect a regular Jewish body to be buried. The Gemara is going to say that if you find the mace sitting up, or you find that it's Rosh Munach Ben Yarkosav, that his head is between his knees or something like that, then it's Becheskas Kivrei Akum, and then you'd be allowed to move it, meaning you find it buried the way Jewish people bury a mace. You find it in a kittel, in a talus or something. So the way Jewish people bury a mace, so you know it's a Jewish body. Notlo ve'estfusaso. So you're allowed to remove the mace, but you also have to take with it the dirt that immediately surrounds the mace, and the Gemara is going to define how much dirt that is. All the soft dirt around the area, and then you dig another three etzbaos in the karka, in the hard ground underneath it. That's what the Gemara is going to say. And the reason is mentioned in the Yerushalmi that the moisture that comes out of the mace gets absorbed into the karka up to three etzbaos. That's what Tosafot points out over here. That's what it says in the Yerushalmi. Now the Ritva, Masechet Mabasa, and Daf Kuf Aleph writes that this din, that you have to remove the afar together with the mace, is on account of kavada mace. So the Tiferes Yisrael points out that we could be mochiach, that this din is not because of a chashash tumah, because the din is that if this mace was a nefel or a goy or a harug, then you don't have to remove the afar, even though they are also tamei. So it must be that it's not a din in tumah, because not every mace is subject to this requirement of removing the tfusas hagever. So it must be that it's a din in kavana mace. So only those mesim that you have a chiyuv of kavana mace are subject to this. From the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnah, it sounds like it's really a din in tahara, because he says v'yachbar ben ofar atichuach ubekarka besula gimel atzbaos va'oz Yitar ze hamakom. That's what we have in the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos. Of course, that's a translation of, you know, you have to look at the original to see if yitar means to, if he really wrote in Arabic to cleanse or to purify, you know, or to clean up or something like that. But anyway, that's what it sounds like, certainly in the way we have it in the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos. Shnayim, if you find two mesim, notlan v'yes tfusasan. You're allowed to remove those mesim with the dirt because they're like two mesim. You could still assume that they were not buried there bikvius. They were just put there temporarily. But matzah shlosha, once you find three mesim, im yesh bein zelazeme arba amos v'atshmona. If these mesim are buried in such a way that the distance between them is somewhere between 4 and 8 amos, which is the normal amount of space you would put in between kvaros in the ma'ara when they would bury in the ma'ara, sarezu shchunas kvaros. That becomes a chazak of a beis kvaros, and there's an iser to now move them. And you even have to be choshish that there might be other bodies in the area, as we'll soon see. But if there are three mesim are buried in an area that's less than 4 amos or more than 8 amos apart from each other, then you're allowed to move them because it's not normal to bury in such a way. So we could assume that these three mesim were buried here b'shas hadchak al menas to remove them later on at some later date, and it just hasn't happened yet. Now, in order to understand the 4 to 8 amos calculation, it's important to understand how exactly they used to do kvura, that they used to bury mesim in ma'aros, not what we're used to seeing, a large flat area, you know, where they just bury over a long a giant surface of ground, and everyone's just buried one right next to the other. There's no on top of the other. There's no in the walls. There's none. That was not the way it traditionally was. And if you go to Har HaMenuchos now, they're going back to that because Har HaMenuchos is full. So they need to come up with more space. So what they're doing is they're digging into the mountain and they're making these huge caves inside the mountain. They're chiseling out the mountain. And once you go inside, so not only do they now have more ground surface area, so that's easy, so they are able to bury there, they have the walls of the mountain that they're burying, and they're putting in these kuchen in the mountains. And on top of that, they're also, aside from that, they're also building like these parking garage type structures of, you know, levels, one on top of the other, and they're connected to the ground through dirt that connects it to the ground. But it's so jarring. Many people go there and say, this isn't the way Jewish people bury. It really is much more the way Jewish people bury than you know, historically at least. It's just not what we're used to seeing. So it's very jarring for people. You have to figure out how to, you know, what constitutes kavura bakarka and what doesn't constitute kavura bakarka. But the point is that it was a very different kind of setup for the burial, that they'd have a ma'ara and then they'd bury in the walls of the ma'ara, and there were certain distances between the kvaros. So the sugis and babasra go through carefully exactly how they would arrange that in a typical situation. Now what they're doing is they're burying people on top of each other. Also, the Israeli government gives citizens, I think, free burial, but each couple gets one. So they bury one, whoever dies first gets lower down, then they fill up a little dirt, and then they bury. So you see like these tombstones that are really just a split stone. It's in one area, two squares instead of one long stone for two people that are buried in the same spot. Okay, so that's probably halachically fine also. If you put enough dirt in between them, it's just, again, very jarring to see because it's not what we're used to. So the Mishnah goes through the Seder HaBedika. How do you check the area for Shkunas HaKvaros? So Bodek and Menu La'alan Esrim Amma. You're Bodek from where the mace is, 20 amos in each direction to see if there's another ma'ara of kvura that's right nearby. Because each ma'ara is about 20 amos away. So once you find that based on the tzura of the kvura that they used to have in those days, that there was an area that's 20 amos, so you don't know which way the ma'ara goes. You have to be choshesh and be bodik 20 amos in all directions because you don't know which part of the of this tzura sakvura this was, meaning which whether this is on the eastern end of the of whatever kvura setup they had, or on the western end, or on the northern end. So you got to go in all directions to see if this is part of some larger complex of mason. Matza echad b'sof esrim amma. If you find one that's 20 amos away from the original kever, bodek ben la'alan esrim amma. That now generates a new chiyuv to check even further for another 20 amos. Sharaglayim l'davar. Because once you found three kvarim in this place, there's raglayim l'davar that this place is used as a base of kvaros, and therefore you have to be choshesh for ma'ara of kvura, an additional ma'ara of kvura, so you have to be bodek if there are kvarim 20 amos around this mace. And then the Mishnah says, she'ilu tchil if you would have found this kever initially before you found the shchunas hakvaros, you'd be able to remove it with the afar around it, like when you find a meis yachid. But now that you found three meisim, and now that there's a kvius that this must be a shchunas hakvaros, now you have to worry that there must be kvarim nosafim, that there must be other kvarim around, and therefore even if you find one kever within 20 amos, you have to assume that's part of a shchunas hakvaros, and that demands a further bedika. So all the Mishnah is saying is, this one kever that you found within 20 amos, had you just found that, or had you found that first, well, you would have just taken it right away. You would have just moved it, and the tefisas hakever with it. But since it's coming in the context of having already found three kveros less than 20 amos away from it, so now you assume this is a continuation of the cemetery that is here, and it's not just one mace. So now you have to be bodek further 20 amos. So the Mishnah said that if you find a mace mushkav kedarko, you're allowed to remove the mace, but you have to take the afar with it. So the Gemara's medayik from the words of the Mishnah in what the circumstances of this halacha are. So Amar of Yehuda, matzah prat lematzoi. First exception is the Mishnah says matzah, which means prat lematzoi, excluding that which is matzoi kvar. Meaning, if you have in your chatzar a mace that you knew was buried there b'kviyus, you're not allowed to remove it, even if it's a mace yachid, even if it's just a single mace. That is how Tosos understands prat lematzoi. The Rashbam in Masechet Babasu explains prat lematzoi in Babasu Daf Kavalef means that if you find three mace and one of them was already known to you, then they don't have a din of shchunas kvaros, because the din of shchunas kvaros is only when you have three that are yadua or three that are nimtzu uata, but not if you have one that you knew about and then you find two more. So Tosfos asks, but from the fact that it says Loshav Hamotzei and it's being Mimayin Matzui, it sounds that the din of Shkunas Kvaros is Dafka by those that are found right now and not by those that you knew about initially. And according to the Rashbam, it's not true, because this din is said by, both by three that are Yeduim and by three that you found right now. And it's not excluded from the din of Shkunas Kvaros unless some of them are Yedua and some of them are not Yedua, according to the Rashbam. So that's why Tosfos doesn't like the Rashbam's interpretation, that the Rashbam makes it sound like as long as there's uniformity in your knowledge about these three mesim, then it's a shchunas kvaros, whether it's three that you knew about or three that you didn't know about. But says Tosfos, it's not true. A shchunas kvaros is only if it's three that you didn't know about. If it's three that you knew about, so you have no reason to assume that there are more that you don't know about in an area where there are three that you do know about. So that's why Tosfos matzah prat lema. So it means that if there was a single kever that you knew about that was there bikvius, you're not allowed to remove it, even if it's a mace yachid. So then we said, and from the second diuk we make, mace prat laharug, that if you find someone who was murdered that was buried in your chatzer, then you're allowed to remove it, and you don't have to take the afar that surrounds it together with him. And if this harug is one of the three mason that you found there, it's not even mitzdariv to the shchunas hakvaros, and you're allowed to remove all of them, because you don't even need to look for other kvarim. That harug is not included in the whole category and in the whole bedika process. And then a third diuk, mushkav prat liyoshev, that if you find the mace buried bi yeshiva, that the body is sitting up in some way and not the derech kvura that we would do where you lie the mace down, you're also allowed to remove it, you don't need to take the afar with it, and it's also not mitzarev to shchunas hakvaros. And then a fourth diuk, kidarko prat l'sharosho munach ben yirei chosav. That excludes a mace. If you find the mace buried in such a way where his head is between his legs and not the normal derech of kvura that we would do, you're also allowed to remove it, and you don't need to take the dirt around it, and it's also not mitztarif to the shchunas hakvaros. And then another din. Tani ulab. So those are the diyukim we made from the particular words that the Mishnah chose to describe this halacha. But another din. Tani ulab. Chanina, Meis Shechaser, Ein Lo Tfusa V'Lo Shchunas Kvaros. If the mace at the time that it's buried is missing a piece of its body, then it doesn't have a din of Tfusa. If you remove it sometime later, you don't need to take the dirt that immediately surrounds it together with it, nor does it have a din of Shchunas Kvaros. If you find three mason that are buried in an area that's between 4 and 8 amos, and one of the mason is missing some part of its body, you don't have to be knowing a din of Shchunas Kvaros, and therefore you're allowed to remove them from their place, and you also don't have to be Choshesh to look for additional kvarim in that location. So Gemara says, V'kalani my time low. All of these things, if you have a mace that's buried sitting down, or it's Rosh HaBein Raglov, what's the reason that you don't need to take from the dirt around them when you remove the mace and they don't have a din of Shchunas Kvaros? So Gemara explains, because Amrinan Dilma Ovid Chavamu, because we have a reasonable chashash that maybe it's not a Jew, because the tzura of the kvura that this mace is buried in is totally not the way a Jewish person would be buried. So therefore, these dinim don't apply. Another few dinim, Matzah Shnayim, let's say you find two mason buried in a way that Rosh Shalzeh Bitzad Margalos of Shalzeh. Rosh Shalzeh Bitzad Margalos of Shalzeh. That one's head is next to the other one's feet, so they're lined up in such a way. Ein Tfusa v'lo Shchunas Kvaros. They also don't have a din of Tfusa nor Shchunas Kvaros, because that's not the way the Jewish people buried mason. And you have to assume that they're Goyim and they don't have any of these dinim. This is the way Tosfos learns the Sugya. Matzah Shlosha, if you find three mason, ha'echad yadua, and one of them you knew about that was buried here, shnayim tchila, but two of them you just discovered right now, oh echad tchila, or one of them you just discovered right now, shnayim yaduim, but the other two you were well aware of, yesh lem tfusa, ve'ein lem shchunas kvaros, and you do have a din of tfusa, but you don't have the din of shchunas kvaros. That's the girsa of the Rosh. Tfaris Yisrael has a girsa of ein lehem tfusa, and he says that it's worse than a kever yadua, a single kever yadua, where you're not allowed to remove it at all, or even from a kever yachid that's ein yadua, where you remove it together with the afar, because since these are not they're not the same as each other, it must be that they were only buried here by Akrai, or that it's just halach al-Moshe Misina like that. But so the question what the girsa should be, whether yesh lem tfusa or ein lem tfusa, but it's definitely the ein lem shkunas kvaros, that since they're not all the same, there's raglayim ledavar, that they weren't buried here bekvius, they were buried here to be removed after a certain period of time, and therefore you don't have a din of shkunas kvaros. So the Gemara says, yeah, and ma'isa Rabbi Yeshevav, there was a story with Rabbi Yeshevav shabadu gumata shnayim yuduim ve'chatchila, that he was bodek and he found two that were known about and one that was a surprise. And they wanted to make it a shchunas kvaros, which means they wanted to make it aser to move this mason to require a bedik of an additional 20 amos. So Rabbi Kiva said, kol sheyagata lirik yagata, whatever efforts you made were for naught. Lo amru shchunas kvaros el shloshi yiduin el shloshi tchila, that the whole din of shchunas kvaros is only when the three mason were already known to us, or there were three that you initially found just now, but when they're not all three the same in that regard, whether you know in terms of whether you knew about them or not, then we don't have this din. So therefore, any effort you make to search further, to search within 20 amos, were a waste effort. So then the Mishnah had said that if a person finds a mace or shnei mason that are buried in his rishus, notan ve'es tfusasan, that he's allowed to remove them, but he has to take the tfusas hakever as well. So says Gemara, what does it mean? Hechidami tfusa. Where do we find in the Torah this din that you need to take the dirt together with the mace? The Aruch has a gear, some minayin l'tfusa, right? Hechidami tfusa doesn't sound like it's asking where do we learn this from, or where do we find such a thing in the Torah. Hechidami tfusa sounds like we're asking what the definition of tfusa is. So the Aruch has a gear, some minayin l'tfusa, and if you don't have that gear, so you chalk it up to, again, a Nazir language, to just an unusual language that we have here in Masechas Nazir. So Amar Avido Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says when Yaakov Avinu tells Yosef about his kavura, that you should lift to carry me out of Mitzrayim, and the word Mitzrayim is extra, because where do you think you're going to take him from? Meaning, obviously, that's where he was, so you take him from where he is. So obviously, in the Sasani Mitzrayim. So what he means to say is that from the offer of Mitzrayim, tol imi, when you bury me in Mitzrayim on a temporary basis, so when you take me out of the kever almanas to bury me in Eretz Yisrael, take together with me some of the offer of Mitzrayim that I was already buried in. So you see that any time you're mefana a mace, any time you move a mace from his kever, you're supposed to take some of the offer together with the mace. So the kamashir tfusa. So now now I know what the basis of the concept of Tfusa Kever is. It's from Yaakov Avinu being moved from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, but Kamashir Tfusa, how much dirt do you take together with the mace? What exactly is the shear of Tfusa? So Pirush Rabbi Elazar, Notel Ofar Tichuach, you take all of the soft dirt that from around the mace, that the dirt softens from the moisture of the body that goes into the area, and then on top of that, v'chofer b'besula shalosh etzba'os, you dig into the virgin ground, the besula, the karka that's untouched, that's still hard karka, three etzba'os, and you take from that offer together with the mace. And the Yerushalmi explains that the reason for that is that the moisture from the mace gets absorbed three etzba'os deep into the karka. That's what Tosfos quotes over here as well. In the Sefer Sidrei Taros, he writes that the Yerushalmi does not mean to say that that's the reason for the din tfusa, because you don't need a reason for the din tfusa. The reason is that Yaakov Avinu is a source for the din tfusa, and it's not shaykh that reason when it comes to Yaakov Avinu, because the guf of tzaddikim is shalim bekever. When you're dealing with a tzaddik like Yaakov Avinu, we assume that the body is fully intact even in the kever. But since it doesn't say in the Torah what the shir tfusa is, the Chum said, okay, so it must be, if we're not, the Torah didn't give us any number, didn't give us any shir to figure out what the tfusa kever is. We look at rov mesim and what area around the body the mace impacts. So since it will impact a typical mace will impact an area of shalosh etzba'os, that's what we assume, that since it's nivla b'karka, shalosh etzba'os. But the ikur din tfusa is a sod amuk misodei mitzvah skvura. There's a lot of depth and secrets of Torah within the concept of kvura, a lot of Kabbalah, a lot of stuff like that. All of the menhagim associated with it are Kabbalistic and things like that. So probably tfusa kever is something that's well beyond our basic understanding. But the source is Yaakov Avinu. The shear is Shalosh Etzba'os. But it's not that the reason, and Shalosh Etzba'os happens to be as far as the moisture goes. But it's not that that's the reason for Tfusa Kever. That's how the Sidrei Taros suggests. So the Gemara asks on the shear of Tfusa Meisvei. We have a brisa, the kamashir tfusa, pirush rabbeinu rabbi tzaddik, notel sakismin. You take the broken pieces of the aron that the mace was buried in. The Tosfos says it was an aron shel shayish, it was a marble aron, and he says because the Gemara says on daf nun aleph that a mace that's buried in an aron shel eitz, that there's no rakvuvis of the mace is not metame because it's mixed with the rakvuvis of the eitz, meaning that since the eitz also rots, so the rotted pieces of the mace, or the decomposed pieces of the mace, are not really pure mace. And only when you're buried in Aron Shel Shayish, where there's no rakvuvis, do we assume that there's rekav of a mace. So that's what Tosfos assumes. So we're talking about a mace that's buried arum in an Aron Shel Shayish. It's buried without any tachrichin in an aron shel shayish. So that has a din of rekav. Again, the way our minhag is that they bury a mace in tachrichin that look like a kittel. They bury a mace in what looks like a white garment. That's one of the reasons that Taz quotes on the Seder night that we wear a kittel. That the minhag is to wear a kittel. One reason is that that the Taz quotes is to be maskir yom hamisa. We definitely want to remember on the night that you're drinking four cups of wine, it's probably a good idea to remember that we're not here forever. Otherwise, things can get out of hand. That's what some have a minhag that a chassan in Shana Rishona doesn't wear a kittel at the Seder. So when I just had a Shavuot Brachos last week, and the chassan asked me, do I wear a kittel at the Seder? So you follow your minhag. So I don't know what my minhag is. Okay, so then it's a question what to do. Rabbi Yashiv held that if you don't know what your minhag is, then in Shana Rishona you do wear a kittel. But the svara not to is that it's not such a cheerful thought for him to be thinking of Yom HaMisa in Shana Rishona, that that's maybe not so appropriate. They say that one of the Gerer Rebbe's, that when he would take off the kittel at the end of the Seder, he would say, I'm able to take off this kittel, but there's going to come a time where I'm not able to take off the kittel when I want to. Meaning that it is being the kind of the taz, being maskir the yom hamisa. Okay, so that's one of the days in taz as far as why we wear a kittel. The other day is a much more cheerful day. But anyway, so the tfus sakever that we're talking about over here is the din that the Bryce is talking about over here is where you have broken pieces of the aron that the mace is in, and Tosfos writes it's an aron shel shayish. And that the mace is arum, the mace is not wearing anything. Vesak sasos, and the pieces of adama that are underneath the mace. Vizorik es avadoin, and they divide them into three parts. They throw the pieces of the arum and the pieces of karka that certainly don't have any mace mixed in with them. They chuck that, get rid of that. Umaniach es asvekos, those that are a suffik, whether there's mace mixed in with it, they leave in a makom mutzna that it shouldn't be that people who are osetaru shouldn't become tamim from it. Vashar, and that which you know has parts of a mace in it, it's got bone mixed in. Mitztarif l'rov binyano shel mace ulrov atzamos. So it's mitztarif to the rov binyan and rov atzamos for the shear of tumas oel. That if you have an atzamos of a shear of rov binyan of the guf of the mace, or there's a shear of a rov ha'akav, so it's metami ba'ohel. And also it's mitztarif l'melot harved rekev. So the shear of melot harved rekev, the rakvuvis of the mace, that is a shear of a melot harved, of a ladle full, that's metame ba'ohel. So from this price you see that we're not mefan of the kever. When you're mefan of the kever, you don't have to take from the offer of the makom. You only take the parts where there's pieces of the mace that are vadai mixed in with it, or at least parts that are a suffix that there might be pieces of a mace mixed in with it, but not the other dirt around the area. So isn't this Akasha and Blazman Pedas who says that you take the tfusa kever means that you take with the mace an additional three etzbaos of karka where the mace is not mixed in there at all? Says the Gemara, Huda Amar Kietana. Rav Lozman Batas is assuming like the Shita of Ben Azai, who disagrees with that Brisa. Titania, because the Brisa says, Vakama Shir Tfusa. What is the Shir Tfusa? Amar Yochum Shum Ben Azai, Notel Ofer Tichuach, that you take Ofer Tichuach from around the mace, the soft dirt, Vachover Bibisula Shal Shetpos. And then in addition to that, you dig into the hard ground that has not been dug into. Three etzba'os. So that's the Shita Ben Azai. That's the Shita that Rabbi Elazar Ben Tzaddik, that Rabbi Elazar Ben Pedas is following. Unlike the Shita of Rabbi Elazar Ben Tzaddik that was mentioned in the Braisa that we had just said. Okay, now we had said in the Mishnah, if you find three mesim in an area between 4 and 8 amos apart from each other, then you know that's a Shchunas HaKvaros and that you're not allowed to move them. And Bodek Kemenu, and we said you have to be Bodek from there on another 20 amos because since you found them all in one place, you have to be Choshesh for a Shchunas Hakvarim in that place. So it says Gemara Amar Rava Badak Upana. If you're Badak and you found a mace that's buried in the Chatzer and you moved it, like any mace Yechidi that you find a single mace, so you move it. Badak Upana. Then you a different occasion. You're Badak your Chatzer. You find another mace. But again, it's only a single mace, so you move it, and then Badak Vashkach, and then you found another mace, a third mace. Had you found all three initially together at the same time, you would not have been allowed to move any of them, because it's a Shchunas HaKvaros, and you would have had to have been Choshesh for additional Kvarim, you would have to have been Bodek, another 20 Amos. But you already removed the first two Beheter, because you only found them one at a time. So, Lo Hai Mefani Le Gabe Hanach Trei, the din is that you're not allowed to be Mefani the third mace, but the first two, you're not allowed to be mefan of the third mace to wherever you were mefan of the first two, because now you see that this is a makom kviyus of kvura v'lo hani trei l'gabe haichan, and you're also not mechuyev to bring back the first two that you had already removed to a different place, because at the time that you moved it, you did it beheter, and there was no third mace that you knew about, so it was mutter. The question is, does it have a din of shkunas akvaros? Do you need to look for other kvarim within 20 amos in every direction? So Tosfos writes that there are some that are goris over here umashviluhu shkunas kvaros. That yes, of course, it becomes a shkunas kvaros because now you know that there were three mesim over here, so we're not going to make you undo what you did, but it's still a shkunas kvaros. So there's machlok machlokas achronim, what Tosfos means. The Sidrei Tara says that according to this girsa, Rava holds that even though you don't need to put the two back, but nevertheless, it still has the din of shkudas akfaros, and you need to be bodek another 20 amos, and that's what Tiferes Tzion says as well. However, the Birchas Rosh writes that the kavanah of this girsa is that you don't have to put the two that you removed back and thereby give the area a din of shkunas akvaros. Rather, leave them where they are so that it won't have the status of shkunas akvaros. So we, even though Tosfos has that girsa umashvi leshkunas akvaros, the question is, how do you read that? Do you read that lo ha'im finding the gabi hanach trei v'lo ha'im trei the gabi ha'ichad and but umashvi leshkunas akvaros, it has become a shkunas akvaros? Or do you read and you don't have to bring the other two back and thereby make it a shkunas akvaros? But if you leave it as is, it's not a shkunas kvaros. So the Gemara brings another lashon of Ravi. Ikadam Yama Ravi Kimishnit and Rishus Lefanos Mefanalahon. Once you have the Rishus to move the first two, because at the time you removed them, you didn't know that there was a third one, so then you're allowed to remove the third one as well, because that's just a Meis Yechidi right now. Well, the Shvinu Shkunas Kvaros, asks the Gemara, why don't we make it a Shkunas Kvaros? Why are you allowed to remove the third one according to this gear? So this Ikadam Yama Ravi, right now, don't you see that it's a Shkunas Kvaros? And even if you don't have to bring the first two back, but how could you move the third one? Some Reish Lakish, Ilam Matzu B'Tiyor Eretz Yisrael. They found any sort of minor reason to be Matar Eretz Yisrael. Since the Chum wanted to be Matar Eretz Yisrael from any sort of Tumah, for the sake of the Tara of the Kohanim and those Seitaros, they were Mesakin, that even if there's a good reason to, there's some sort of reason to, if there's any sort of reason to be Matir, removing the Tumah, you're allowed to do so. So in this case, where you already removed the other two, Beheter, so you're only left with one mace that you know about, the Chacham were Matir, removing that third mace as well. So the Mishnah said that a person who finds in his chatzer three mesim in an area between 4 and 8 amos, he's not allowed to remove them, and he has to look for another 20 amos. So badik meyasim amav lo matzamai. So what happens if you look 20 amos around and you don't find anything? You don't find other mesim. Do we say that it's inspired a davar that there was not a beis hakvaros, and even the three that you found were only buried here by a kray? They were only buried here temporarily, because who buries only three mesim in a beis hakvaros and no more? So mainly you'd be allowed to remove even these three, or do we say no? Even if you don't find any more, the three themselves make up a beis hakvaros, and therefore you're not allowed to remove them. So Amar Menashe Bar Yirmiya Amar Rav Shchunas Kvaros, this is the din of these three mesim, is the din of Shchunas Kvaros. You're not allowed to remove them, even if you don't find any additional mesim. So some of the gears over here, we have the gears of my time. Am Reish Lakish Ilam Matzu V'Tiru Es Eretz Yisrael. It's a question whether you have such a gears, because Rav was just poshet lahachmir. So how is this V'Tiru Es Eretz Yisrael? So that's what the Rishonim struggled with. Okay, the next Mishnah moves into the area of Negaim. So Kol Safek Negaim. Anytime you have a Safek of a Negat Sara'as B'Tchila, when you were still B'Cheskas Tar, so Tar, we have the right to assume that you remain b'chazaka, that you started b'cheskas Tara, you're still b'cheskas Tara. Ad shlo niskak l'tuma, that's until before in the case where you didn't have a nega up until now, and right now you don't know for sure the kohen was not machlit that you're tameh, misha niskak l'tuma, but once you already had a nega and the suffix already arose whether you're tameh with another nega, so then we assume that you're b'cheskas tuma sveiko tameh. Then we assume that it's sveiko tameh that the person is going to be tameh. So it says, Marminani Mili, what's the makar of this din? That a person who's becheskas tara does not become tame from a suffik negaim. So Amar Rav Yudah, Amar Rav, Amar Kra, the pasuk says by Tumas negaim, letaro o letamo. Vahol, pasuk tara tchila. That since it mentions tara before tuma, we learn that you go after taras hanegaim, and therefore sveikum tar. That we're always looking for tara by negaim. Ihachi, if we learn that from the pasuk, that we look for tara by negaim, afil mish. Even when the person was b'cheskas tuma, we should be mitar the new nega, because he's when a person is b'cheskas tara, we don't have to learn the from the pasuk that he's tar, because the din in kalatara kula is to be mamir a person al cheskaso. I don't need a pasuk to tell me to be mamir a person al cheskaso. Elamai, I have a pasuk over here that says that we go even further over here to be to assume tahara. So it must mean that we're that even when a person is bechaskas tuma, we're gonna assume that he's tahar. So if it's really a pasuk that tells me we do more to be metara a person than we normally would in kala tahara kula, then it should be even if he's bechaskas tuma. So based on that, the Gemara changes its mind and says and explains that Rav was talking about a different situation. But Gabi our Mishnah, you don't need a limud from a pasuk. It's a svara that everyone goes with the chazaka. Ela ki itmar Rav Yudom Rav, aha itmar. Rav Yudom Rav was said in the following context, that in Beharis Kadmon Laseir Lavan, that first the Beharis appeared in the Ora Basar, and then two white hairs appeared. Tamim, him Seir Lavan called them the Beharis, but if the two white hairs appeared before the Beharis, Tahar, Safik, you don't know which one came first. Tamid, Rabbi Shua Amar Kiha. So my Kiha, what does he mean when he says Kiha? Am Rabbi the Kiha Vitar. It means it has a din of a nega that has faded and is therefore Tahar. Vidilma Kiha Vitame. Maybe he means Kiha Vitame. So Am Rabbi Dom Rav. That's what Rabbi Dom Rav said. Amar Kra, Litaro O Litamo. So since it starts with the word letaro, we learn that we should be metar suffik negayim. That's the context that it was originally said, not in the context of our Mishnah. But tomorrow we'll pick up with the Mishnah on the bottom of Samachei Amud Beis as we draw to the end of Maseches Nazir.